This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Cleveland Golf. I would ask if you're familiar with their wedges, but considering their presence in the short game for nearly four decades, I would think I'd be better off celebrating their understanding that all skill levels require wedges that promote confidence while maintaining a high level of performance. With the addition of Zipcore technology, I think Cleveland has taken nearly 40 years of innovation and presented one of the best wedge experiences available. For more information on Cleveland Zipcore wedges and their full lineup, visit www.clevelandgolf.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my fellow golfers, to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is my good buddy. Some know him as Neil, some know him as Grant, some people know him as X-Thor for the THP community. Either way, he's been an active member in our community for some time now. He lives down in Louisville, and just happy to get him on the show and so he can tell his story a little bit and see what he's got going on. So, Grant, Neil, X-Thor, what's up, man?
Hey, Dan. How's it going? How you doing this week?
I'm doing awesome. I don't know why you're laughing at me on the intro. Is it just, is it weird to feel it from the other side or what?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. A little bit. I mean, I listened to the last 2 weeks, both on Monday while doing yard work. So first and foremost, what we have to get out, it's not Louisville, Louisville.
Louisville.
Gotta say it right. That's right.
I think there must, there must have been like a little blip in the internet when I said it, because I'm sure I said it right and I've never butchered it once in my life.
Put a Chrome Soft X triple track in your mouth and then try to say it, and that's it. You're good.
Well, at least we got the elephant out in the room already that you're a mega Callaway homer from Louisville. And maybe I'll just change it every time. That's probably good.
Could be. Yeah. Right.
So welcome either way, and we are in the diesel season of heat, better known as June, right now here up in here in Ohio. You're a little bit south of me, not very much. What's it like down there right now?
Yeah, about 2 hours south. It is steamy. The last few days weren't bad, but the humidity has jumped up. It's like 98 degrees outside right now. It is hot.
So part of that might have been my fault. I went out and played golf yesterday, which would have been Tuesday, since we're recording on a Wednesday, and we got through seven holes, and I was anticipating just pure heat when I got out. I had like my whole big Bubba keg built up with water. I was ready to just sweat. We got seven holes in. I said, you know, this isn't so bad out here. And from like 8 to 14, it was just pure humid heat, and I was dying. I don't know why I even considered making a comment, but I had regrets from that point moving forward. So I'm assuming it's not much better down there.
No, not at all. I played the last 2 days. So Monday I played 18, wasn't bad. Tuesday, yesterday I played 20 holes, actually. That was kind of weird, but
20 holes. What is that?
20 holes.
Is it like an E2 or what?
No, man, it was such a long day. You ever get behind these groups that don't really know what they're doing? And it's cool, right? Yeah, everybody's got to learn. But, man, did it get slow. I think we played the first seven holes as a twosome, me and a friend, in about an hour and a half. And it was getting painfully slow. We got up to the ninth tee box. We're sitting there. The group in front of us is in the middle of the fairway getting ready to hit approach shots, the group of three. On the green, you see a foursome of younger kids, you know, that, you know, may not be as familiar with the game, but they're all laying down on the green looking at their putt, like trying to get a line. And you see the guys in front of us just throw their hands up in the air. And I mean, it's been 3 or 4 minutes that all of them are laying on the ground. You know, just scooting across trying to get their line, and it's just like, okay. So what we did is we shot over to 11, finished the back, came down 18. We were gonna then we finished 10. We were gonna shoot over to 9. There was somebody on the tee box, so we shot back over to 18, played 18 again, then went to 9, finished it out.
So you're just holes. Like, you're just recklessly playing golf wherever you feel like. Forget the rules. You're a bender.
Pretty much. Yeah, wow. Man, it's a local muni, right? Little public city course. Rules really don't apply.
Yeah. Well, there's always a conversation about the decision to go private. And if memory serves, you did belong to a private course as late as last year, and you've transitioned into playing public at this point. Is that all accurate, just to be clear?
Yes. Yes, that
and
is correct.
How exactly is that going for you?
The wife would say it's going great.
Didn't ask her. So, I don't believe I invited her on the show. So,
well, I'll put it this way. At this point last year, I had probably finished up somewhere around my 75th, 77th round. I just put my scores into Jen's yesterday. I think I'm at 17 rounds for this year. So I hope that gives you an accurate description of how it's going this year.
I'm pretty sure half those are at my course too. That's terrible.
Yeah, just about.
That's
yeah.
Pretty terrible, man. I know everyone has different availability for golf. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed about belonging to a course is that the money's already sunk. So every time I go there, it gets cheaper. You know what I mean? So exactly. Like there's that sort of perspective that if you don't use it, you're just wasting money. And the more you use it, the better off you feel about it. Is that really resonating at this point, 17 rounds into 2022?
Yes, absolutely. I'm like fiending for golf at this point, right? Is anything and everything I can do for golf would be great. And you know, this is a decision the wife and I made, you know, back really kind of right after the granddaddy from last year. We knew we had a whole bunch of things we wanted to do to the house. So we're going to go through some renovations. So we paused the membership to the club and it's like, okay, I'll take the year. We'll go slow. I'll get all the house stuff done. And then I'm going right back headfirst into golf. So kind of where we're at halfway through the year. I'm, you know, halfway there.
Any regrets so far?
Tons of regret, but the house is looking good. So,
yeah,
you know,
no,
okay.
No one asked that. No one cares. Mm-mm, so mm-mm. I don't believe this is a house podcast. So but the other part is you're kind of throwing around the idea of maybe moving to a different locale. Is there any legwork on that or any movement on that? Or is that kind of going away a bit?
You know, the in-laws just moved up north to your kind of your state. A little bit north of you, though. There's been some talk of us joining. There's been some talk of us getting closer, but not necessarily being just down the street, which would be, you know, pretty cool. There's been talk of, you know, maybe I know some people 2 hours north, a great golf course, some nice fun times that could be had. So we'll see. We're still looking. Realtor it downloaded on all of our devices. We've got lots of things saved, right? The searches. So we're kind of, you know, every day we're looking, just seeing what's out there, seeing if anything makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously I'm very selfish and would love to see you get closer, and that's fine. But I want you to share your golf story a little bit with the listeners. I know you haven't been a golfer for your entire life, but it's not like you just started playing the game. You've been at it for almost two decades now. Is that right?
Yeah, thereabout. Yeah, that's about right.
And what is the, first of all, one of the things that people always say if they pick up the game late is, I wish I started earlier. Do you think, based on the fact that you started golfing in high school, was that early enough that you feel like you had an advantage, or did you think that some of the stuff you were doing in other sports transitioned well enough to golf, or didn't feel like you were trying to, you know, learn how to write left-handed or something ridiculous like that?
There was definitely a decent transition, right? I played baseball growing up. I played hockey, you know, kind of right after high school when I was, you know, really getting kind of starting to get serious into golf. So I think there was some, you know, a decent transition. But man, I wish I'd played earlier. I mean, everybody says it, but like listening to, you know, J-Man last week on the pod talking about high school golf. Oh, like looking back, I wish I could have played golf in high school, right? Just being part of a team. But, you know, during that time in my life, that would have been cool to do something on a team that's not football, baseball, hitting each other, but, you know, having that individualized sport.
You hit people too. In baseball? What kind of baseball they play in Louisville?
Oh, man, we're all out. You know, the bats aren't just for balls.
Yeah, the one thing that I always found interesting about high school golf, at least when I was in high school, so we're close to the same age, so like just at the turn of the century, it never really seemed, number one, to be all that talked about or super popular. I think the game has changed significantly since then from that perspective. But the challenge for me was always, if I had a summer, I was working. Like I skirted one summer into just being a referee, which paid pretty well. But, you know, most of the summers I was dedicated to work, and a lot of these kids who are playing, they spend their summer playing golf and refining for the season coming up. So, and it's funny you say that, because I always think back like, man, I really wish I had played back then. But I remember distinctly making a decision to play hockey because it was a team sport, as opposed to golf because it was individualistic, and because I would be so behind not playing during the summer. So that's a tough call.
Yeah. Well, hockey's cooler, right? It's a, and I mean that from a temperature standpoint, right here in the Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
It's steamy, and having 2 days with a football helmet on during the summer, it was not the best of times, especially that was kind of like the early 2000s, when, you know, peak of Tiger, and, you know, and he's, you know, just out there winning everything. And I was watching that on the weekends, and then Monday getting up, going to practice in the morning, school, practice in the afternoon. Like, well, you know, hanging out, hitting golf balls might have been a lot more fun.
So who's your biggest tour memory then? Moving in the last two decades, who is the guy that really defined golf from a visual perspective for you?
Oh, it has to be Tiger for me.
Is it?
Yeah. It was a weird mix between, my dad liked Phil Mickelson and I liked Tiger. And we had this kind of rivalry going, because he's who got me into playing golf. So we had this rivalry of, I always wanted Phil to finish second, because typically that would beat the Tiger. So it was pretty interesting.
Okay. And does your dad still like Phil?
He doesn't really play much golf anymore. So he's not nearly in tune with it.
Okay. Fair enough. So where is your game right now? You are trending really nicely last year. Mr. Wins every tournament he comes into. I believe you were some sort of you know, match play champion or something like that. Bunch of trophies on the wall. Where's the game right now? Is it still on the improvement spectrum, or are we on the decline at this point?
We are heading into Canadan territory of nearing getting soft capped.
Oh, so, no. Hold on a second. I didn't know you were going with that. I didn't know it would be a jab. That's tough, buddy. That hurt me.
Hey, you know, you're welcome from your old pal Grant there.
Okay.
So now the game has been, I'm not playing enough, definitely not practicing enough. And that's something I did last year, right? I played probably just well over 150 rounds, but I was at the range practicing. And a lot of that is, I knew I had the granddaddy. I knew I wanted to have my game in good shape. And I was playing tournaments at the club. I was, you know, playing match play tournaments. So last year was a grind. I think I started the year at a 13 handicap in 2021, and by the granddaddy, I was down to I think 6.1. So it was a lot of grinding.
Is that what you said? 6.1?
Yes, 6.1.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I knew you were getting into that like mid low single digits. And I think one of the best parts of your game typically was just guaranteed driver, like on every tee box. It's like you step up, you ripped it, and we're in good shape, right?
No, driver was actually the worst from last year. Man, that was...
Right, now who's gaslighting, right?
The hooks, the slices, the driver was awful, but put a 4-iron in my hand and I was good. And putters too.
So that you kind of given up a little bit of that. And one thing I do want to share with everyone, and we should definitely talk about it, is you've committed a lot of time to golf this year off the course, and that relates to some work you're doing with Callaway. What exactly have you got going on, and what made you want to do that? Because it's like secondary, right? It's not like the focus. It's a secondary focus. It's a, I would say, more of a position of passion than anything else.
Yeah, and we call it a part-time job. I mean, that's really what it is.
Okay.
But
not the motivating fact, though, I doubt.
Not the motivating factor, right? I can say there is a paycheck. It's a small paycheck, right, based on what I do. But, being around the game is really what it's about for me. And that's something coming from the granddaddy last year. That just helped reinvigorate my passion for golf, right? Being around the team that we had, being involved with the community, being involved with the people from Callaway, right? Meeting all of them. It's just, I wanted to do something. And I knew that I wasn't going to play as much this year, but I wanted to find something to do. So it just kind of, as luck would have it, one day I'm out at the golf store shopping for things and putters, you know, the normal stuff I do 2 to 3 times a week. And the Callaway, local rep is there for the region, and he's, working through some stock or something. And I've known him pretty well over the last 3-4 years that he's been in the region, just from meeting him at the shop or really getting some fittings on some wedges and buying putters from him mostly.
Yeah.
That's really truly what it's been about is, hey, when you're going to have the new putter, you've got my card on file, just send it over.
Okay. There's the truth. Yeah. Okay, good. We got that out there.
Yeah. So, I just started talking to him, right? Hey, I was at the granddaddy. This is what we did. This is all kind of right around New Year time. So pre-product at retail for all of the Rogue stuff. So we're just kind of, shooting the bull and talking about some of the product. And I kind of brought up to him casually, like, hey, if you need any help this year, let me know at a demo day or something. I'd be happy to stop by, volunteer my time, and just kind of hang around with you, be around the game. Since I know the product, I've hit the product, talked with the people that designed the product, right? Having that inside knowledge, it's pretty cool. If you need help, I'll be around. Hit me up. Couple weeks later, he sends me a message and we get to talking, and he's like, hey, I might have a team, spot on my team as a Callaway custom fitter if you're interested. And I don't know how much time passed between me saying yes and him finishing his sentence, but it couldn't have been much. So we kind of got hooked up with that and the rest of his team, and started going and doing some fitting events and hanging out and getting to learn the product more and going to demo days and fitting places.
So that's one thing we haven't talked a lot about. How has that experience been for you this year? Has it been on par with what your anticipation was for it? Has it been eye-opening? What has the overall experience been like?
It's been awesome. Now, I've got some experience doing some fitting, being involved in retail. I worked for Dick's Sporting Goods for a number of years in the golf area. So I've got some experience doing that. But being more involved at a golf course, talking with the head pro, talking with the GM, being there, fitting members, having the questions out at the range, as opposed to being like inside on a simulator, it's totally different, but it's awesome. Just being immersed in that and having that conversation has been awesome. And it's cool when you can help someone find the club that makes a difference, whatever that difference is, whether it's dispersion, distance, feel, people that have disabilities, helping them find a way to hit and make contact with the club, get the ball up in the air. That's been pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you serve what region? Sorry?
All of Kentucky and Southern Indiana.
Okay. Dodge in Ohio. I get it. It's fine.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, if any listeners are out there and they're in Indiana, it'd be pretty funny to, you know, connect with you on a range at some point and say, okay, yeah, I know what you're up to. But one of the things I think is great about this, and I've had this conversation, whether it's on the podcast or not, definitely on the THP community. There's nothing worse than going to a fitting and engaging with someone who, number one, does not share the same level of passion for the product as you do. Number two, doesn't believe in it the way you might. And number three, doesn't really seem to be all that engaging about golf. And I think you fit all three of those components so heavily when it comes to Callaway that it must be not just rewarding for you, but also for the person who comes up to you and says, I'm really interested in a driver. This is my experience are. And you can be really passionate about describing the benefits of the new product. Has that been like a really, really comfortable fit? And as compared to what you've done at, let's say, a Dick's, where you had to be sort of brand agnostic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had a passion for Callaway for years, even pre-granddaddy, just conversations with some of the people from Callaway, conversations with people that hit Callaway, being involved on the community. It's just been really, really cool to talk to people about product, and not just product, but swings and the mechanics, and obviously, you know, the implementation of TrackMan and GC Quad and all of the statistics, right? I'm an analytics guy. I like numbers. So being able to merge the two, right, between cool technology and what the technology can do has been just awesome.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah. And we should definitely talk about the whole single brand thing. I mean, I've tried to be very spread out, if you will, with my golf product selection, I suppose you could say, over the years. Now, there have been some situations where that's been very isolated, but it seems to be, for me, a very rewarding thing to try everything and sort of land on a gamer bag eventually. What is it like to go all in on a brand? Is it, first of all, you've picked a good one in Callaway because they've been so strong for so long now. Like, we're talking way back pre-early Epic. There was this huge wave of quality product that started, I don't know what year, maybe 2013 or so, maybe 14, where they just became this juggernaut of quality, where each year you could find something that fit very nicely into your golf bag without really trying that hard. And you can't say that about every company. It helps that they had, you know, Odyssey being the powerhouse that it is at the back end of the bag. And you know, with the inclusion of Toulon, obviously that changes a lot. But what is it like for you, first of all, to be so passionate about that? But second of all, do you look at other products, other companies, and get curious about it? If you play with someone who's got a product that's very interesting, do you say, can I try that? Or what's the story on that? Or you know, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, it started not so much with Callaway. It started with Odyssey.
Okay.
And it started with buying a prototype to Black Series, right? From, on Craigslist in 2011, because I wanted to go, you know, play more golf. So I picked one of those up and it was just like, wow, this is awesome, right? It's cool. It's my first milled putter. Really got into it, and it's like, yeah,
it's really funny
learning more about.
You bought an Odyssey and got geeked about a milled putter, and
their
primary thing is white hot. That's great. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
keep going.
So the putter I had before that, that I had played for a few years, was like a Nike Ignite orange putter, right? Because my dad's a Tennessee Volunteers fan, so
sure.
Yeah, I'll play with my dad. I'll get an orange putter. And it would be cool. Shout out to my guy, Real Pretend Psychic, the orange. But, you know, just it was cool, right? And now I'm in Odyssey. It's milled. That's what they play on TV. It's fun. So I kind of got into it that way. And then I started, like, looking more into Odyssey. And it's like, well, they've got Callaway, right? That's the, I guess, you know, the main brand, the mothership. So started looking into, you know, hey, let's go get fit for some clubs. This is 2011, 12 with Razor Fit Extreme and Razor X. clubs. And that's kind of like the year before Callaway started blowing up, right? Because right yeah. after that is when, you know, the Apex came back out, X-Hot, and then they brought Big Bertha back, you know, right after that. So I've been kind of in on them for that whole period of time since then. I'm probably the only person in my player group, my group of friends, that is kind of single brand. Most people are brand agnostic, right? They'll have a little bit of everything. But I do, you know, hit quite a few different clubs from everybody. We play a lot of games where, you know, hey, this hole is just a 6-iron challenge and we have to swap 6-irons. So, oh, you know, last year, I don't know, sometimes you got to, when you played 170 rounds like me last year, you got to change them up every once in a while.
Yeah. So we're not talking right? this so, year, one of 17, you're kind of sort of not really playing. This is absolutely. Last year when you ran out of hitting your own ball, you wanted to try something a little bit unique. 6.1 is getting too low, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So no, I have, we have switched clubs and hit, you know, a bit of everything. You know, I played maybe 6 holes or so with my friend's Rad Speed Irons, right? So, you know, I've branched out. I've hit other products. But as far as what's been in my bag for about the last decade, it's been pretty much Callaway specific. No real rhyme or reason. It's not like a pure loyalty thing or that I feel bad if I go away from it. It's not that. It's that I've always found something within their lineups that works for my game, so I've kind of stuck with it.
Well, the putter head has to match the wrist, right?
Putter head has to match the wrist. That, so we're not going to go away from that.
There's a bit of a story here, and I think everyone needs to know. You have a tattoo on your wrist, not like on your back or on your, you know, thigh somewhere that no one can see.
Yeah, not the lower back or anything.
This thing, no. Yeah, not down in the middle there. This thing is right there on the wrist for everyone to know. It's the I had Finley on a couple weeks back and I called it the swoosh and he got pretty upset with me. The Odyssey Swirl. The Swirl logo. So what is the backstory on that?
Well, listening to that podcast, when you said swoosh, my heart dropped. It sunk a little bit. I threw up in my mouth a little. I was like, man, Dan, you cannot do this to me.
In my defense, every show I say one thing that has my foot sticking into my mouth and out one of my ears. So there has to be something, and I chose swoosh there, I guess. It's a natural, unnatural decision.
It's okay.
So tell us the story.
We'll get over it. So, yes, I have the Odyssey Swirl tattooed on my wrist. And this was a years ago, Chris Koski, when he was still at Odyssey, put out a there was kind of a challenge. It wasn't really a challenge. It was a half-hearted challenge of, get an Odyssey tattoo and I'll give somebody a putter. And he just kind of like threw it out there haphazardly. Right. So I pinged him and I was like, dude, are you serious? Cause at the time my brother was a tattoo shop, like a little shop rat. I had tattoos on my arms and, you know, one on my leg. And it was like, I'll go today. I've got a buddy up here that'll do it, right? At a legit shop, right? It wasn't like a basement tattoo. But Koski was like, you know what? Yeah, sure. And I was like, all right, peace. I'll send you a message this weekend, right? A picture. So I went up and, you know, my brother and head of his friend that was a licensed tattoo artist gives me the old swirl on the wrist. Next thing you know, I get a message from Koski that Austin Rawlinson has something in the works for me, wanted some specs. And about a month later, a box showed up at my door with a beautiful putter. And I am all in on it. Right.
Oh, that's so cool. You know, I love that there's really a genuine story there. I also love that it wasn't a basement tattoo because then it would have been a swoosh, not a swirl.
Right, exactly.
So at least you committed to something useful there. I just think it's cool, man. I think it visually you see it and you're like, yeah, this guy's definitely into this product. And you know, you've had a bit of an identity now on in our community that suggests that you're very much all in on not only Odyssey, but Toulon as well, as they've quickly merged together and started to put out some pretty spectacular products. I mean, we just saw the new 11 series that have the two ball on them, and you can see some of that cross-pollination of Toulon technology built there into the sole of the putter. So that's pretty great to see. So
I've got the tour line crank hosel is in route any day now.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
The first thing I do in the morning is I wake up and I check and see if the order is still being processed or if it has moved into being shipped.
Well, so tell us about your putter collection then. Do you have like a running total, or do you just kind of let them collect?
I kind of let them collect. I think we're right around like 20, 21, somewhere right there. I have some agreements with the wife that, you know, if a new one comes in, maybe an old one needs to go out, right? So there's a little bit of replacement happening. So that's what's happening here. The 11's coming in, the triple track 10 is going out. So
okay. Well, I mean, what mama don't know, right?
There's been a few of those, but she likes to come up in here to my office where I have the Toulon shrine going on behind me, and she'll take a look at them every once in a while. Some of them are hers though, so I won't. She does have more than one putter, so we will say that we are definitely having a more than one putter per person family.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, once every one she gets is like 10 or 20 for you. So that's perfect.
Pretty close.
Do you have one or two that are deemed your favorites?
Ooh, absolutely. So, right. Obviously the one that Osti made for me, kind of an old Prototype IX Japanese model with the white hot insert.
Nice.
It's kind of a double wide style. It's pretty cool. I love that one. I've got a Damascus Grand number one. Love that. The small batch Latrobe Arnold Palmer special one from last year. That one, it's only ever been rolled on carpet in the house. Over half my collection has only ever been rolled on carpet in the house. But there's several of them that would never even like go outside to the greens.
You know, put one in a Ziploc bag and roll it so it says never touched a putter or never touched a ball. So yeah, they actually just did a really cool small batch. It had the 904L on it. Unbelievable Odyssey script there in the cavity.
Oh, so good.
And by far, and it's not even close, my favorite milling they've ever done. Absolutely
it's
stunning.
So cool. That fly milling. Oh
my goodness. So yeah, I tried to get in on it, and openly admitting to Luke that if I were to win that putter, cause I think there was only like 25 made, I would 100% butcher the neck and put a long neck on it. And he probably went into the system and said, get this guy out of here. But, I've enjoyed some of the different releases they've done in their small batch. Has that been a lot of fun for you to follow? Obviously, they're expensive, so it's a little bit harder to be, you know, obsessive about them, and they're harder to come by, but you've clearly fallen victim to at least one of them at this point.
Yeah, I only have the one, but I stay up on every single one of them, right? And there's a few that I really did want to get in. A few of them I did put my name in the hat but did not get. So the Latrobe has been the only one I was lucky enough to get. But I do have a saved search on eBay for Toulon small batch that I do check out, I'll say every day. Yeah.
Every day. What about head covers? Were you hoping that they would go in a little bit of a different route than they have, or you've been satisfied with their progression there? Because they did, when Toulon originally started, they were really starting to get into it. And I think they kind of reeled back a little bit as they hit connected with Odyssey, and it seems like we haven't seen as much of that sort of boutique-y, or you know what I would say has become a bit of a norm in the putter cover world, where you're getting all these releases super high quality and all that right in this realm of buy sell trade type of thing.
Yeah, it does feel like Odyssey Toulon, right, has they've moved into kind of that more conservative area as far as head covers go. I do have like I think I've got 6 or 7 of the garage head covers. The small batch head cover is really cool, but you know, if I go back and look at some of the early Toulon releases when they were right there kind of at beginning with Odyssey, right? You look at the Austin and it has like a head cover with the cowboy on it, right? Like,
yeah.
That, you know, that was really cool. It was super limited.
One of favorite ones they did the early Masters one from Pure Toulon, and it had like the number on it. It was a white cover. So I pull it out every March just to get a little excited. And the other one I love, they did a mystery cover when they first joined up with Odyssey. And it was like a white cover with a bunch of like question marks, and it looked insane. So that's by far one of my favorites. Let's be clear. He's looking around to make sure he knows that I know that he's got it too. Either way, that was such a cool cover. I think it actually suits your brain a little bit. Like, what's under there? If you didn't go with that mallet shape as much as you do, you'd probably be rocking that thing, wouldn't you?
I'm blade 99% of the time. So come on now. It's almost
last time I went out and played with my guy here, he had, I think, 3 blades in the bag. One which he had never played, one which he had just gotten, and I think one that he never actually touched throughout the round. But yeah, it's fun to chat with guys who might be a little bit crazier about putters than I am, even though my goal all the time is to just focus on one and finding the one and moving forward from there. So,
well, I do have a couple. So the Odyssey, like the question mark mystery head cover, that's been happening with Odyssey since 2013-ish.
Yeah,
I want to say, right? Back, you know, the Versa, I think right around the Versa time frame, that's when it came out. So I do have a couple of those. But yeah, no, I sticking with one putter or finding one putter for the year. Oh, that hurts me.
I
think I'd get bored.
But finding bored. The one is very
finding.
Fun.
I like to find the one about once a month.
Yeah,
that's kind of my goal.
Oh man. Well, what about Travis Matthew? We've talked about this a lot individually, but for those out there, you've heard me talk about how much I love their hats, how much I love some of their outerwear and their pants especially. You're just as much, if not more, of a Trav guy than I am. Is that fair?
Oh, I am all in on the Trav stuff.
Yeah, so all more, in is on what it. He's saying. What's so appealing about Trav to you?
I like the material, man. It's soft. It's breathable. I don't like sweat to death in this humid climate that we're in. I like the colors. My wife likes the colors. That's a huge selling point. So historically, right, my closet, I've had a lot of Under Armour, a lot of Puma, some straight down, lots of designs. My wife is very much against the designs. She wants me, hey, plain clothes, the heathered look, that sort of thing. And Trav has a lot of that. So, you know, getting packages in with all of that stuff has been pretty, you know, okay at the house here because the wife likes the way it looks on me.
Yeah, they kill the heathered look for sure. I like that material and how it sits. I've always appreciated, even just in basic t-shirts, that sort of 50-50 material that doesn't sit so boxy and doesn't shrink up to my belly button in the wash.
Right.
The worst thing. So yeah, I think that for me is Trav to a nutshell, but you know, the hats for me have always been a passion. I think I will wear Trav hats until someone convinces me that I'm just being ridiculous because it's all I wear. I bet you I have 30 of them in the house, which I know I'm not competing because I know you've got more, but that's fine. What about Quater shoes? I've never really dove into Quater shoes. I had the wild cards or I have the wild cards, but I use them exclusively for THP Tech Studio work to keep them nice and pristine. I think you're in on at least a couple different versions of the Quaters now as like your absolutes, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I love shoes. I have more shoes than my wife. I'm not anywhere near like JB level of golf shoes, but I have, you know, several pairs. I've got a couple pairs of Jordans, I have New Balances, some Callaways, a couple Foot Joys. But about 2 years ago, I got really big into the Puma shoes, right? So the Puma Ignites and a few of the different ones. So I had, you know, 7 or 8 different pairs, just different colorways to match whatever outfit I felt like wearing that day. Because I like to look good. That's the best part about my game right now. But, you know, obviously going to the granddaddy, everything is like, well, let me try a Quater shoe, right? I you know, we'll support the brand. I don't want to go there and, you know, wear something rival. So I got a pair of Ringers and liked the pair of Ringers that I had. So I bought another pair of Ringers in black. So I have the white and the black. Then I got a pair of Ringer in gray. Then it's like, you know, maybe I need to go with the spikeless version. So got into the Moneymaker and then got all the colorways of the Moneymaker. Then they decided to release the Moneymaker Lux. So I got a pair of the white leather of those. Then the wild card came out with the Masters scripted, like the white with the green. So those are in the closet now too. So yes, Quater shoes are pretty much everything. And that's just golf shoes. I think I have 8 or 9 different colorways and materials of the dailies. That's the only like shoe I wear if I'm going out casually or whatever. It's the pair of the dailies.
You know, I catch a lot of grief for my wife for the amount of golf shoes I apparently have at the house. I'm going to make sure she listens to this episode because you just set me ahead. Like I have the freedom to purchase at this point. As soon as she listens, that's a haul, man. But
absolutely,
there must be some pretty significant buy-in. But each of the different models supports or presents a different experience, right? So if you're going to go out and walk 18 on a dry day, you'll have a shoe that you'll prefer. And if you're going to go on a cooler day that's a little bit of moisture and the ground's softer, I'm assuming there's a different product there too. Is that a big reason why you have the different models, or you just like variety?
I like variety. That's probably first and foremost, right? That it, you know, given the number of putters that I have, I like variety, but I also want there to be some practicality to it, right? It needs to have some function, not just the form. So if it's going to be a little bit wet or muddy or softer conditions, I'll probably wear something that's, you know, like a Ringer that's going to have that traction. Generally, I like to wear the Moneymaker or Moneymaker Lux because this year for me, I'd say right now I'm about 75% walking over riding. And that's been kind of a big push for me this year and going forward is to walk more. So I'm looking for comfort, looking for something that's going to be lighter and I guess more, you know, easier on the feet to get through around walking as opposed to riding.
And that's one of the realities right now is anyone who's out there making concessions on presentation versus functionality, I think is insane. There are so many good golf shoes that support your foot and look incredible. The idea of committing to something that you are fatigued in at the end of the round, it just blows my mind. But there are people that are like that, and you know, all credit to them. I'll buy the other stuff when it's on sale since they're not. It's fine.
Right.
But and yeah,
that functionality for me is critical because there's some of like, you know, some of the Jordans I have, I cannot wear them anymore because I tore my Achilles a couple years ago. So having something push up against the back of my heel or not give it the proper support while I'm walking just does not happen in my world anymore.
Yeah, I think you and Tony Finau would get along well.
That's right.
Oh man, it's been fun having you on today, my friend. And yeah, you know, it's nice to walk through your experiences with what you're doing with Callaway this year. It seems super fun. I know you have an unbelievable passion for the game, so I'm thrilled personally that you're sharing that.
Yeah.
You're the kind of guy who you get out for a round and you never expect a bad time. You always bring that foursome up in a positive way. And I'll be honest with you, as I expose the world to that, you know, you're good people, man. So thanks for doing this.
I appreciate that. And I do try to bring that same energy to, you know, me in everything, especially me in golf, right? Fittings, it's the same way. We're going to have a good time and we're going to hit some golf balls, right? That's whatever happens after that, we're going to start to maximize it. But that's like, that's the reality of what I like to do in golf, right? You're going to have a great time. We're going to hit some golf balls. You know, as a fitter for Callaway, I don't work on commission. So if you don't buy from me, okay, you probably, you know, it's probably your loss, because I'm going to fit you in something great. It's going to work for your game, and you're going to, you know, something's going to improve there. But, you know, I'm just there to kind of help you and help you on your journey and be involved in golf with you in some capacity.
I love it. Well, you know what part of the episode it is. You've already kind of threatened me with it. At the end of the show, I like to invite my guests to ask me any questions, as I've spent about 40 minutes grilling you. So do you have anything for me today?
Question one.
Is it written down?
No.
Okay, good.
In my mind it is.
Okay.
Question one, it's hot, it's humid. Do you still walk, or do you kind of move into riding?
I typically go with what the group wants, but one of the things I've been doing a lot, or have been trying to do, is I feel like once you get into that 90 with humidity range, you run the risk of dehydration and just kind of wasting the rest of your day by walking and not drinking enough liquid. And so I bought this like huge, I don't, 64 ounce or whatever, this giant Bubba thing at Walmart that's a vacuum sealed, and I just filled it up with water yesterday and went through, I think, 1.5 of them. So it's, to me, it's like, if it's going to encourage me more to take care of myself by putting liquids in, I'm going to lean more towards riding, because I'll actually take in the liquid. So that's a really long-winded way of saying I'm just trying to protect myself better. Cause I used to walk and not even think about it. And sure, there was a couple stations I'd hit some water and whatever, but now I'm trying to be more conscious of that. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm trying to walk more this year. I'm really pushing for next year to get like a Moto Caddy M7. I think the wife's going to allow it, as long as I walk, right? Specifically because of that, because hey, I can say I'm taking care of my body, right? I'm getting steps in. I'm not riding. Plus, it's cheaper, right? I don't have to pay a cart fee.
M7, or, you know, find a course that lets you use a fin scooter. Then I could take the Bubba and walk.
There you go.
M7, that being. What else you got for me?
Have you ever been brand specific, like during a full year?
I've tried really hard, and you know, we've done a couple different things on THP. The Granddaddy was an awesome year. That for me, that was the year that Epic came out, the very first one. So it was, well, the rebrand. So that was awesome. It was really easy to play that product for a while, but I was also reviewing for THP at the time. So, you know, clubs were coming in and out doing reviews on that. So that was, a little bit harder. But that also included a Toulon putter, which was my introduction to, or obsession with Toulon. So yeah, I mean, in and around that, I think I played it for at least a full year, and definitely a couple of those products maintained for way too long in the bag, because I just love the setups. And then there's a couple Morgan Cups I played in that their products lingered for a very long time. One of the, one of my favorite clubs, which I actually just retired, was a Cobra Speed Zone 4-iron. It's this super forgiving club that, I mean, Ricky put it in play at Waste Management, I remember, for the first time, and I was like, that's crazy. That thing's been in the bag at like a 5-wood or 4-wood length, which everyone calls it my Franken 4. That thing was in there for at least a couple years. So yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on the product, right? Because my perspective is there's a reason to support, but there's also a reason to experiment. And there is a level of disservice that comes with isolating to a company, because there's so much good product out there that you have opportunities around every corner to find something that just absolutely glues into your golf game. So more often than not, it's done for different reasons, but my preference is to have a little bit of a mixed bag, just because I think it's fun that way. It's fun to try.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, even though I'm brand specific, right? One brand through the whole bag now, I'm still experimenting with a few things, right? I just rebuilt my irons, right? Put new shafts in, playing with it, you know, playing with a different driver shaft starting this week. So there's still a lot of ways to kind of experiment, but still be in that one brand.
You know, I found I've been a lot more brand committed, I think, is in shafts, whether intentional or not. I find a product, and I'll give you a couple examples, like the original KBS Tour Vs. They were and had been a lock in my bag for years now. I don't even know how long it's been, at least four, where whatever I have in the bag before it leaves my house and or gets, you know, moved into a different area, it will experience Tour Vs. It's just been how it's kind of come to pass. But so it takes me a lot longer to move away from that. Like Project X, the hazardous yellow, the original, not the smoke, the original yellow. I mean, that thing was an absolute staple in my bag for countless number of years. It's just funny how, like, those are the things that I think I get more in tune and locked in with. For whatever reason, but this is a big year for me. Project X LS has been kicking butt in the iron category. I would argue I have distance irons and they're actually MBs. So, you know, there's something working really, really nicely with that iron set or that shaft. So, yeah, right. I mean, I think I'm more inclined to be hyper committed to a shaft than I am to a club head, but I definitely lean towards the companies that I feel like are progressing in a way that sort of aligns with my perspective. So on what, yeah. I like, you know, Callaway, their sound and drivers are unmistakable right now. And there are a couple companies where I wouldn't spend the time because it's not the sound I'm looking for or trying to achieve. So even when I hit it, it's not that same level of like, oh man, yeah, that's it. So I don't know. It's pure preference, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it makes total sense.
All right.
That's really all the questions I have for you, other than when are we going to play again?
Yeah, soon, my friend, soon.
Soon, done.
I look forward to it. Again, man, thanks for doing this. And I hope everyone enjoyed a little look in with Neil Grant Javins, or Javins. He changes it every time I talk to him. better known as X-Thor on the THP community. You've been a blast today, my friend. And anyone out there playing golf this weekend, please have a great time. Enjoy it. Make it count. And if you're in any type of weather that we're in, drink water. I'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.